Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Work Insanity, a show about keeping your sanity while you work from home. I'm Tom Merritt. I've been working from home for about 10 years, running my own podcasting business and writing novels.
And I'm Patrick Beja. I've been working from home for over 10 years, doing production and podcasts and more. Yes, that's right. Over 10 years. That's more than Tom.
Yes, you're going to keep doing that every episode. I get it.
I think so, yes.
Today we're talking about organizational tools, tools that help you work better. And Patrick, what's our takeaway for today's episode we're going to get to?
Listen, I think the most important thing you have to remember about all of this, even if like you could literally stop listening after I say this and you will have taken away as much as it's important. But the key thing is that those tools should help you work better. They should not add work to your work. Like, tools can be a seducing thing. The evil, you know, dark side of organizational tools can actually become an impediment to you doing the stuff you need to do. So, to me at least, that is the most important aspect of all of it.
Yeah, I think tools are a fun toy for some people that they like to play with, and that's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you have to be aware that there's time spent playing with the tools and there's time spent using the tools, and you need to at some point cut off the play time with figuring out different things and like start reaping the benefits of them. But also, I think they could be a distraction. Even if you don't love playing with the tools, you could say, well, I just need to work a little more on the tool because that's more fun than doing that report that I should be doing that I don't want to be doing. And so just being aware of both of that. But also, I think on top of that are tools that seem like they're making things better but aren't. You have to be aware of that too.
Yeah, for sure. There are so many, you know, there's kind of a technological solution. In French, we call it like solutionnite, which is like the illness of finding solutions through tech, which actually don't help. And that applies to a lot of things. I think it's very seductive to think that you're going to have some kind of a to-do list or some kind of mind mapping thing that will help you work faster and better. And certainly for some people it does. And if that works for you, please use that and your life will be improved. But I think for a lot of people, there are at least some tools that have been sold to them as magically making all of their workday better and easier. And in the end, either they take too much time to set up and maintain. If the setup time is long, you know, and then you, as you said, reap the benefits of it, it's fine. But if you also have to maintain and organize your lists and change the colors and regroup and degroup and file and organize, and in the end, you benefit a couple of minutes or a couple of dozen minutes in your day, maybe that specific tool is not all that it was promised to be.
Yeah, I want to underline what you said, Patrick, about the tool needs to work for you. We'll mention some tools that work for us. They may or may not work for you. In fact, probably some of my tools that I use are going to offend people who are into organization, but they work for me. And that's what's most important. And by work for you, I think the second part of what you're saying is so important, which is evaluate whether you're actually getting a benefit out of it. If you're spending work time working on the tool, not doing work too much, that's not a tool that's working, right? It's a tool that may be fooling you into feeling you're productive. And that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, productive means that at the end of the day, you produced something, you know, you managed to create some kind of work value. If the entire thing that you created is the organizational aspect of the tool you're using, it's probably not ideal. But So tell me, what tools are you using? And of course, as everything we do in this show, there is some aspect of it that has to do with working from home, because if you're working from home, it's probably a little bit different than if you're not. But yeah, what do you use, Tom?
Yeah, what I found is I wanted something very simple. I didn't want to spend a lot of time maintaining the tool. My mental map, and this is not a metric per se, but and you know, when I started using this tool, did I find that I ended up doing a few more things by 11 a.m. Than I did before? You know, just in your head, you can be honest with yourself and you'll know, oh, I spent so much time in the mind map, I actually did fewer things by this time in my day than I normally would. Or if you have the new tool, you actually ended up doing more things. And this worked for me. This made it so that I was doing more and getting things done and having a little extra time in my day. And that's just using a calendar. I pretty much work right out of my calendar. I make all day events for tasks. I color code them based on whether they are for a particular item. You know, I have multiple shows that I work on. I have writing that I need to do, so I have them color coded on that. And then I have shades on whether they're like got to be done today, or it's okay,
love the shade,
you know, if you can put it off to tomorrow. So it's like a bold, bright red. Sword and Laser is a show that I do, and all of the Sword and Laser things are red. It's a bold, bright red if it's like, hey, we have a show today, so you have to prepare the lineup at some point this day. or it's like a faded red if it's like, oh, you have to do the mailings for the patrons. You can do it today, you can do it tomorrow, as long as it gets done. And so those are all at the top of my calendar as tasks. And then, as we talked about on the scheduling episode, I have blocks, and they're the same colors for the various things, for recordings, meetings, writing time, all of that throughout the day. So I can see up top, these are the tasks that I have to get done, and I can see in the day, this is the time that I have blocked out, and this is the free time that I have to do the other tasks. And then I've kind of trained myself to feel like a little, you know, gamification, a little dopamine rush when I get to pull one of those things off the task list. Once I'm done, I go and I delete it. And my goal is to try to get that list down to zero.
Yeah, I love using the calendar for essentially what is a task list or to-do list. So you kind of repurpose a tool that you already use anyway to be useful for something else, for something additional in your workday, which works great when you work from home, because when you don't, you have other types of interaction than through your computer. When you work from home, mostly everything is going to go through the computer, through the web. So you're going to have, added tools, added software, added things, added windows that are going to clutter your computer, your screen, and that might become overwhelming. So reducing, because you don't have other types of interaction with your workmates. So reducing the number of tools by itself is already a benefit, and taking advantage of some things that you already use to do other things is you know, absolutely necessary, I think, because when you have like the little chat thing and the Zoom window and the document you work on and the email and the, you can't add a million, and the Jira and the, you know, all the other things. If you can sort of do double use for one of those, it's going to reduce the clutter, which is, I think, important.
And I have personal things on this list because I'm working from home, and so I have to do laundry. You know, and you may like, oh, I do laundry on the weekends, and that's great. But for me, I don't want to do laundry on the weekends. So on Friday, I have a task that's laundry, and I have that there. It may feel weird to be like, but shouldn't you keep that work and home life separate? Isn't that what your first episode was saying? And yes, but because it's on the task list, it is separate. I know, like, oh, I have to go do that and then forget about it. I don't have to keep thinking about it while I'm working. It actually helps me keep that separate.
Yeah, because a lot of things that are from around the home, like if you didn't have it on the task list, it would be on your mind exactly for the whole day.
Yeah.
And if you put it out of your head, put it on the calendar, that's super, super important.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the tools I love in that spirit of multiple uses is spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. I love spreadsheets, and I do so many things in spreadsheets, and including, you know, show recording documents. But spreadsheets are extremely you can use them for, they're versatile. You can use them for a lot of things. It's not just for your accounting and that kind of thing. One of the big advantages, I think, of spreadsheets compared to, you know, Word document or word processing documents is the fact that you can have in one document multiple tabs that can be useful for organizing different sessions of a specific thing. And I live in spreadsheets. In my case, it's Google Docs because it is a super simple version of spreadsheets that is super easily shareable and workable on by multiple people. There are many different services and brands. Of course, you know, Office is one. There are a ton. But the simplicity in the case of course, a simple spreadsheet editor is not going to do as much as a complex one, but that is for me actually a feature. There are maybe once a year something I would like to do that I can't, but as an organizational tool, it is super important that I keep things simple, that I can share them, of course, working from home, with people that I almost never talk to. And spreadsheets work super well for me for that.
Yeah, obviously the online aspect, whether it's Office Online or whether it's Google Docs, is one of the key aspects for using that for working from home, which leads me to Slack or Discord or Teams. But Slack is definitely the inter-office communication substitute for me working from home. I jump into Slack every day and I'm talking to the folks I work with on Daily Tech News Show about what's going to be in the show. We do a call too through Discord later in the day. Amazingly, we've somehow don't use Zoom for anything, but but Slack is that ability to kind of shout a question across the office to somebody, and so that is a key organizational tool for me as well, to find out, okay, who's doing what, can you do this, I'll take that, and keep those communication lines flowing.
You know, I really like Slack, but I find that I try to use it a little bit less than I have in the past. I prefer, and I may be a little bit old school in that way, I keep a very, very organized inbox in my email. And I almost prefer when people send me an email than when they shoot something on Slack, because again, and this is an illustration of the fact that you need to use the things that work for you. And I try to reduce the number of tools that I use on a regular basis as much as possible. My email kind of doubles as a task list. I always ask people to send me an email asking about something if they have a question, because I keep it somewhere in my Google Gmail inbox, which I categorize in different ways. And it does double as my to-do list. And it works really well for that. And then it means that, of course, I still do use Slack, but I guess the way I look at it is I use it when I need to check something. I try not to have it open all the time, because then it becomes a little bit of a noisy place, which I think, depending on how many people are part of your organization or how many different organizations you work with, might become more of a hindrance than help if you use Slack a little bit too much.
It depends on what you're using it for, right? In that, you know, pre-show rush, I couldn't have Slack not open, right? We need to be able to talk to each other. But if you're trying to get something done, it may be time to close the door to your office, close Slack.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to hear the shouts from people. In fact, we should probably do a whole episode on just when to communicate with what method, because I also use email a little bit as a task list in the getting things done method of, each email that comes in is something I need to take action on, and I will violate getting things done by letting a few things float in there in a holding method as a reminder. But I'm keeping not inbox zero, but inbox two or three. So that works for me as well. And there are definitely times when people tell me something in text message or Slack that I say, please email me that, because I will lose it. But if it's an email, I won't.
Yes, absolutely. Completely agree. Tom, we are kindred spirits of middle
Certainly in that way, certainly. So what is our takeaway again from what we've been talking about so far today?
Well, you will remember that things that you use, tools that you use should help you work better, and they should not add work to your work. So remember that if you're using something and you find that at the end of the day, it's not that useful, it's okay to not use it and go back to the old method.
Yeah, we'll probably revisit organizational tools and tools in general in future episodes, because there is so much to talk about. But for now, that's it for Work Insanity. We hope we helped you bring a little sanity to your work life from home.
You can send us questions at contact@workinsanity.net. We will be doing special episodes, Q&A episodes, where we answer those questions. So please do send them. They're at you can send them at contact@workinsanity.net. I'm Patrick Beja. You can catch up with me at NotPatrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And I'm Tom Merritt. You can find me at tommerritt.com and find both of us at workinsanity.net. See you there.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.